Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
To the Mother and Daughter Roundtable here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in at the roundtable with mothers and daughters from around the world. So amazing. It's amazing. Good day to be alive. Good day to give God some praise, some thanks. Because he didn't have to give us this day. And if you're listening to me, whether it's today, Saturday, or next week on Wednesday night, or, you know, next Saturday night or Sunday, it's still today. And today, God, you are alive. God gave you opportunity and an opportunity to serve him and an opportunity to be the best that you can be and always be good, loving to other people. So I'm going to go to my co-host, Cynthia. It's not with today, and then we have Deborah Tyler with us. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you this morning?
I'm absolutely wonderful. I am in a great space. I thank God. I'm just rejoicing because I'm having a revelation of some stuff about patience, and I thank God for that.
How nice. How nice. I mean, that's in order for you to learn the lesson of patience. You know, sometimes you have to go through the trial, the test. And people, that's why,
absolutely.
You know, someone said to me one time, you know, I'd be like, Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me patience. Someone said, just because in order to get to know that you've gotten patience, you have to be tested to know that you have gotten through the test of patience. You know, and I'm like, what? Yeah. So I kind of lightened up when they're asking for patience, that thing. But it's a good thing to know, and it's a good thing to have, because it just helps you make better decisions when you're not so fast and going to temper and not thinking things through. That's a blessing. You want to give us the prayer this morning, Deborah?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. We ask right now that you will go before us and you will have your way, that we will decrease and you will increase, and you will touch the hearts of the hurting people, the hearts of the hungry people, the hearts of the people that's curious about you, God. We ask right now that you would seal them with your stamp of approval and let them know that you love them. There's no sin that you would not forgive them of, and that you wish that everyone to come to you, Lord, and surrender and let you be their Savior. We thank you for moving right now on the behalf of your people, Lord. Help them right now to come and make their choice and that decision to serve you, Lord. We thank you. It's all about bringing people to the kingdom. So help us as you promised so we may live, Lord. Our hope is in you. We trust in you, Jesus. We thank you for everything you do, everything you're going to do. Everything you've done, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for using us, Lord. We thank you for life, health, and strength. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, have your way. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, that is the prayer. How was your week last week, Deborah?
Last week was really busy because my coworker's having some trials and tribulations of a brother passed, so I had to, my shift, I had to open up, you know, the whole week. And so that was, you know, a little different for me because I don't go to work to someone on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that means I had early mornings and like the body was feeling it for whatever reason. It's more work when you open up, you know? And so mm-hmm. I was feeling it, and I was so grateful to see 5 p.m. yesterday.
Yeah, because you know what? We get so used to a routine. And when mm-hmm. we get out of that routine, the body's like, okay, wait a minute. We rest about at least 30. And we're getting up, what, mm-hmm. 6, 7? Oh, no, come on. You know, it's a different message. Well, but anyway, you know you can do it, and you done it, and now you got the reward. I don't know if y'all are closed on Monday or not. But
no, I'm off. They open,
yeah,
but I'm off.
Yeah, well, and that gives you a couple of days of rest to sit back, relax, and regather yourself, as they say. My week this past week, Lord have mercy, let me see what happened. This week has been, I'm doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And putting out a lot of fires that people don't see and I don't talk about because the Lord don't allow me to talk about it. And sometimes, you know, it's just that even with the group and I get so tied up, I forget to even go in and address the group. That's why I'm so grateful that you all do that, especially the ones that is in our Facebook private group, because then the way they see activity and they see the board is moving around. I try to jump in there. Things are light now. But last week was an interesting week. I'll say it like that. A lot of phone. I mean, phones rang at Grand Central Station. Time like called me and said, well, they not call you and it just goes right into your voice. And I'm thinking, well, it never does that. Well, what's going on? I said, well, either somebody had me on FaceTime or, you know, I mean, I got two people on the line and it just goes to voicemail. It's just been that kind of, which is good, not a complaint or anything. But another story, I have a friend that's in Africa, and so when she gets kind of stressed out, and she'll call me, and we just kind of like lift each other up, and known each other now for about four, five years, and she called me, and she was on her soapbox, and she was riding, and so I was listening to her, and my spirit said, just listen, and I was listening, and come to find out, the same thing that we went through with our community and she went through with a project that God had her working on, and God told her to just, and she revealed that new project on 7/1, which was the same day we looked at our project. And I told her, you're not going to believe this. We were running parallel, not even knowing that we were. And she was like, what? Because then, we hadn't spoken in about 2 months, and that's very unusual for both of us. But, you know, you keep saying, I'm going to call. And it was just like, she said, it's the seventh month and the first day. And 7, you know, it's the number. I never thought about it. I said, you know what? I never thought about that. But we revealed something on 7/1/2. And so I was like, okay, God. But the most amazing thing about, not this Friday, last Friday, I was taking care of my grandson, great-grandson, and I was changing his diaper, and he was laying on the bed, and he was looking back. You know how you take your head and your neck kind of fold back, and you're looking up in the ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked up there, and he said, I thought that's what he said, but I wasn't sure. And I said, what's they call it? Rainbow, Nene. Rainbow. And I'm thinking, rainbow? So I looked up, and do you know in the corner, I was at daughter's house, in the corner of her bedroom was a rainbow inside the house.
Wow.
I said, my God. He said, rainbow, Nene? And I said, oh my God. I said, kind of, Nene going to have to take a picture. And I got a phone out to take picture of it, because I thought, nobody's going to believe this. And just as I went to take the picture, he said, where did rainbow go? I said, God wouldn't let me take a picture of it. He wouldn't let me take a picture of it. But amazed ever since. I said, oh my God. And I said, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? And he said, Jacqueline Knoll, the rainbow was a gift to him that I would not store the earth with water again. And he knew that the storm was over. And he was saying, the storm is over. So the storm is over in my life. Now the sun is going to shine. And we're going to get to the end of this. I was like,
amen.
But Deborah, if you had seen that rainbow in the house.
Wow.
In the house, in the sun. You know, because rainbow come after rain. Most time you see a rainbow is after rain, or, you know, every once in a while you see one off somewhere, way off. But it had to be about, say, maybe four or five feet, and it stretched from one corner of the, now you get to the corner of the wall, it stretched from one side to the other. And I'm looking at it, a rainbow. That gave me hope. That's all I can say. It gave me hope.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So all this week I've been living off of that, saying, you know, even though there are trials and tribulations, I saw the rainbow, and we're coming out. I saw the rainbow. So, but anyway, today, God has to talk about our topic, and our topic is a mother's natural love. And I was listening to Pastor Hagin, Kenneth Hagin Sr., and talking about love, be in love in order for God to receive God's blessings. So I'm going to get into this topic from my point of view, and then I'm going to come back and pick you up, and then we're going to have a discussion about it. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you, Deb.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, daughter, today we're talking about a mother's natural love. And you might say, well, what's so strange or different or interesting about that topic, Dr. Beth? So when we think about love, most people think that they're in love when they're infatuated with lust, admiration, lackability, wanting something, love. And you use the word love very loosely. I love my car. I love the dress. But see, love designed for humans. He said, love each other, love your brother. You love yourself. Love is the last commandment. Love is a law. It is required by Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, when you get into that kind of love, people want to say happy love, you know, the spiritual love. But yet, I want to meet someone and 2 days later say, you know, oh, I'm so in love with them. And they'll meet somebody else 2 days later and say, oh, I'm in love with them. See, love will make you right. Real love. Godly love, the spiritual love, the love of the law will make you do right by all people. And I'm not talking about that'll make you in a way that's going to force you, because God will never make you do anything. I'm speaking of it as you want to. It just will be thought without really thinking about it. It was an unconscious move. You just automatically treat people nice. you just automatically would think before you say something to somebody. You would just automatically wonder, you know, well, I want to say this, but how is it going to affect the person? You don't want to gossip and talk about people. You don't want to tear people down. We can make mistakes, but the love in you will be the first person to say what? Please forgive me. Well, you can forgive yourself and ask the person to forgive you. If you can't get to the person to forgive you, send the spirit of love and minister it out to deliver the message. And you get back into love. We can step out of love, but you need to get back into love real quick. Because when you're outside of love, you move it into darkness. You move it into a space that's giving the enemy a chance to work against you. That's why he said to repent and ask for forgiveness, because that takes you back over into the love lane. Now, it's not a game you can play. It's not like Russian roulette for the goodness. It's like Russian roulette for death. Because you never know when you can go outside of the love line. You say, well, if I do it, I just repent and ask God to forgive me, because he said if I repent, he'll forgive me. And then you're going to take a chance. But what happens if you don't ask or you get back inside the love line? A split second. You can miss God. So it's a death Russian roulette. Especially if you know better. See, that's grace and mercy for you. For those who don't know. But you walking with God, you know, like I know now, not just today, but I mean, I know in this part of my life, in this season of my life, how important love and forgiveness is, and not to walk around thinking ill about anybody. I learned that years ago. And when I got it, I started operating out of it. Because once you know something, you are accountable. You know, some people may say, you know, I don't know. She might still I don't have no ill against you. Nothing. Because I don't have time. Even when I was a child, the thing that most children didn't like about me, and even coming up as a teenager, is because I didn't keep my mouth closed if I had something to say. Go talk to Nancy about Mary. Hope Nancy will tell Mary what I said. I didn't play those kind of games. I went straight to Mary. Whoever, and say, this is what I heard, and ask them the question. And people, oh, she'll come right up to you. I did that all my life. I will ask the question. And even to this day, if I feel like there is, and in some way, I'm going to ask if I have done something. I have a different approach, of course, for years now. Did I do something? Something wrong? Did I say something? And then give the person time to say yes or no and have the discussion. I'm not angry. I'm not plotting. That's the way you're supposed to do it. To stay in love. Because hatred will block your good. You sitting around spending a lot of time worshiping people. See, you make them out of gods. When you spend time day and night, you can't rest. You're at work, you think about it. You're in your car, you're thinking about it. Those are gods. And people thinking out of gods is, you know, worshiping cow or creating some kind of monument or whatever. And out of God is anything that you spend more time with than you spend with God. Think about it. How much time are you spending worrying about something? then you are worshiping that name. Because he told you not to worry. So you're out of order. That's not love. Love's not going to make you worry. Love comes with peace. It comes with faith. And it comes with grace. It comes with forgiveness. So you're not going to worry if you're in love. Love is broad. Very, very broad. It covers all things. You know, little silly stuff that we did when we were younger. Things when you look back at your life and you're thinking, how in the world did I do that? Because at the time, you was right. Because if you knew you were wrong, you wouldn't have done it. We've all done it. That's why I say I can love everybody. But I've made mistakes myself. I had to forgive me. I had to love me to get myself back under the law in which Jesus said must operate out of love. So mothers, you out there talking about your daughters or that girl, I tell you, I can't be, I have to let her go for a while. She gets so mad. You think God's pleased with that? You think God's pleased with you talking about your daughter to someone else? Pleased with you talking about your mama to someone else? Saying hateful things about your mama? And I'm saying mama. And then you wonder why things aren't working in your life. Wonder why you can't meet a nice person in your life. Someone's always getting over on you because you're running on the dark side. If no one has taught you, you don't know any better. That's why he said have to seek. Because it's inside of you. You're not action of the Holy Ghost inside of you. And it you when you're wrong. You know when you're wrong. You can play the game with everybody else. But God has not placed you on this earth to be ignorant, to not know. You know. And your spirit will tell you not to do it. Will check, but you override it because what? You're not working out of love. If you're working out of love, you will share the Holy Spirit. You will stop and think about it. I know a situation that I was in about 6 months, 7 months. And I knew that I was being challenged. I knew that the person was using me, talking down to me, playing me. I knew. The Holy Spirit showed me every time. Every time she got ready to do something. Every time a trick was played. The Holy Spirit would show it to me. Because of love. I couldn't tell her what I had to tell her. I couldn't say what I wanted to say. Because, see, I wouldn't have said it in love. I had to work that thing through. And a lot of times, I would end up in tears because it was testing my patience. It was testing my love. It was testing my strength. Walk in love. Let her do what she's doing. I will take care of her. But if you say something, then I can't take care of her. I can't take care of the situation because you have gotten your reward, Bessie, by opening your big mouth and saying something. Now God's hands tied. And that was like torture to me because the one thing I cannot stand is someone play with my intelligence. And because I wasn't saying anything, they thought I was really dumb. They thought, you know, you know I'm doing this. She don't know. Well, she knew, but she couldn't say nothing. She wouldn't let me see anything. And we walked right on through it. Finally, the Holy Spirit released me from it. I was like, wow. But just like Deborah was saying about patience earlier, that was a big lesson of how to be patient. How to hold your tongue and how not to respond with your emotions. Because I could feel Bessie Day coming up. And I knew I'd been sore off the love mark. It took me a while to repent and get myself back together and to feel good about stuff again. Because what we do when we say things, we think we need to say it at the time. And we think we need to say it a certain way, mothers and daughters. But then we have the guilt afterward. We have to deal with that for days, years, sometimes for the rest of your life, because they're so powerful, you can't take them back. So now you're stuck. You're stuck with the memories of the words in your head. You shot them in the head and the consciousness and the heart of another woman. Being a Christian, now you want to know, well, did God forgive me? Maybe I shouldn't have said it like that. And it's constantly going to come up and come up, come up, come up. And even if you go to the person and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done this. You know, you're going to try to justify. Well, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that. And it gets worse and it gets deeper. And then you're further in a mess than you were before. But I thank God I listened to the Holy Spirit and didn't say a word. Because, see, I don't have those conversations. I don't have guilt. I didn't step out of the love line. I stayed within the love line. I had to cry sometimes. Because the body wanted to do something different. My conscious mind just couldn't stand it. And my unconscious mind was like, well, look, tell me what I'm supposed to be doing here now. Which way are we going? Am I supposed to receive this information and hold on to it? What are we doing? Are we letting it go? Are we going to do something? You know, so constant battle in my intro conversations within my head. And I had to choose. I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Because this is not about me. What is the good? The greater good is mothers and daughters around the world. The effects that it would have on mothers and daughters around the world. If I didn't do what God wanted me to do, I could interrupt his plans by being out of order and being disobedient. It's not the plan. It's not my story to tell. He's just using my body for the implementation of his vision to jump ahead of God. Let me set us straight. That's not God. That's not something Jesus would do. So now we are looking at our topic. We're talking about natural, mother's natural love. Natural love, we're talking about, you know, it's just natural for a mother to be taking care of children. Get so protected that when you're pregnant, you start planning in your head how you're going to prepare for the birth, pack your bags, you buy clothes, all these things that is expected, prepare a place for the baby to sleep, room. You want it to look like a baby's room. You do all those things. But inside your subconscious mind, you're also going beyond the birth. You're going, how you're going to raise her? What are your rules and regulations for her? Even sometime to make up rules that, well, she'll never see her grandchild, or if the father's not in the house, he's never going to get to see her. His side of the family, they're never going to get to see her. And I'm not having my daughter going to spend the night at somebody else's house. I'm not having my daughter going to the mall with other little girls or to the movies. Friends, I'm not having my daughter go anywhere without me. See, you start planning, and it's a natural thing for a mother to be possessive. You have to know that all those selfish human thoughts can cripple a child. You can cripple the child. The child needs to be social. The child needs to know how to deal with other children. I'm a homeschool my child, so she doesn't have to go out there and be with other children. It's okay to homeschool, but she still needs to have activities. She still needs to be able to play and interact so she'll know how to deal with other personalities. You can cripple her. You can make her shy, make her insociable. You can make her feel like she's not worthy. Even though she may be a very smart, intelligent student, on the dean's list, honor roll, whatever, doesn't mean anything if she can't deal with people. She can't deal with society. Because if you was to leave the earth, she would not know but what you taught her, and she's a stranger, not knowing how to fit in to society. Always thinking that she's lacking something because of your selfish, natural love, which you think that you are right. You're thinking, well, it's my child, Dr. Fletcher, and I can make rules. Well, hello, got a newsflash for you. She's not your child. She's God's child first. He just chose you to bring her into the earth. You need to go to the Creator and ask, what do you want me to do, and how do you want me to raise your child? And if you can get into that position, then you're going to be able to grow with the child through grace and through love, because it's going to take faith, grace, love. You got all the fruits of the spirit, you know, self-control, forgiveness, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control. It's going to take all of that to raise your daughter. Shut your mouth and listen. Being able to build a relationship with each other. And you can't build a relationship with someone when it always has to be what you want done in the relationship. That won't last long. She will follow the relationship rules, but all along, she's plotting and planning. When I get to a certain age, I'm out of here. And we wonder why our daughter's away. When they get 30, someone start talking in their ear, 14, 16, oh my God. You better be in a relationship with your daughter. Because, see, she knows that I'm not attached to her. I'm not a Siamese twin. I can leave and there's nothing she can do about it. See, they already know the law. But you don't want someone to stay with you because they're in a prison, a mental prison with you. You want them to stay with you because of love, because you build a love relationship. That's the one thing I can say about my daughter. I built a love relationship with her. My mother built a love relationship with me. There was the rules and regulations, knew you had freedom, express yourself, and they were going to listen. And today, with my grown grandkids, and she being a grandmother, we still have that love relationship. We've learned that even when we disagree in love. And I've been doing that with her, and I can remember the incident when it came up. She was about 3 years old. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to go in the kitchen. Angie, the kitchen. You need to go. I got up out of the bed and went in there. She took a chair, some kind of box, and she climbed up on the chair, on the box, on the stove to get the cereal out of the cabinet. And when I walked the door, she was weaving, trying to get her balance. And I just went up to her and held her till she got that cereal and took her down. I was so nervous, I popped her. Used to. She cried as if I had beaten her for 10 hours. That thing, it was more of, I can't believe she hit me. There was a reflection because I vowed I was not going to spank my daughter. It's like I got spanking every day because I was always either saying something or my mother would say, she said, you never got a spanking every day. But that was my interpretation of it. But if she was here, she'd tell you that. She did not get a spanking every day. I said, well, it seemed like it every other day. She said, well, because of your mouth. Because, you know, I had this thing, if it was the truth, if it was an adult, if they were not telling the truth, I would tell them, that's not the truth. But see, that's not the way it was in that time. It shouldn't be in this time. So that was disrespectful. Of course, my mother was going to spank you. You could be disrespectful to an adult. And she was trying to tell me, you're not tell. Even though she knew the person wasn't telling the truth, but she kept her mouth closed. You can't say that. That's a no. But I said, I would never spank my daughter. But long story short, she went to her room crying. And we'd had a conversation. And I always told her, you're about 3 years old, and you're thinking about three, you know. Yeah, three. And she started walking at 8 months old. She was potty trained at 8 months old. She was way ahead of herself. But I told her, I said, you can always tell me, and as long as you tell me the truth, I said, no problem with mommy. When I ask you something, I want you to tell me the truth. But if you lie to me, then you have a problem. We made that agreement. So she went to her room, came back, and tugged on me on clothes, and she said to me, can I ask you something? You said if I need to, I can ask you anything, and you will listen. I said, yeah. She said, I don't understand why a big person like you would beat up on a little person like me. Now, that took me. That got to me. I didn't beat her. I spanked her real quick. And I started crying and called my mother. And my mother said, oh, she got you. Now, somebody who had never touched in life and would never touch. I mean, please. I'm an only child and still an only grandchild. So you go and put the numbers together and you get that one out. And so I told her, I said, you know, I didn't mean to thank you. I said, you should have came to me and told me you wanted some cereal, and I would have gotten cereal for you. I said, it scared me. So I tried to explain it to her. I apologized. And I told her, I said, you know what? I understand where you're coming from. Because she felt like there was no sense on her side. And from that day on, I'm telling you, she would come. Mama, you said I could come to you. Yes. Okay. We talk about it and we move on. And to this day, it's the same way. And we've built our relationship that if you tell them you're going to do something, you do it. How many times wish I had not said, tell me the truth and I'll listen, because I had to listen to be objective. And I told her there was no punishment if she told me the truth. We had to talk it out. Otherwise, I had lied. I didn't know how to raise a daughter. I just kept asking the Holy Spirit to show me. I've been talking to God since I was five. You know, and it's like, I'm going to raise a daughter. Somebody, Holy Spirit, you need to tell me how to raise this daughter. That's how I got through it. So can be a dangerous love, a selfish love, a crippling love. You got to love her and the agape love, the God love. So when it's time for her to go, when it's time to go to school, it's time to get married, time to move out, you in love with her enough to know that you have given her all that she needs, and she knows that she can walk back through that door at any time. She knows that she can call you. She knows that she has the best friend in the world, her mother, that will listen to her. And daughters, you need to do the same thing. It reverses back when your mother calls. You need to know, that's my mother. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it's your boyfriend. I don't care what you're doing. Hey, my mother is calling. Excuse me. That's the love line. So I'm going to go back here and get Deborah.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, love line.
Love line.
Yes,
we got to be close. We got to be inside that love line in order for the love of God and the grace of God and faith to work.
Yeah, so I'm just going to make a connection right where you start, love line. And, you know, I was looking at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, talk about what is love. Love is patient. Oh, my God, I just told you I was listening to Dr. Jazz this morning. She broke it down about that patience and being patient with people and how God be patient with us. God said, I love you, and I'm being patient with you because you don't always get it right. And so he said, I need you to exemplify, or I need you to display that same type of love when you're dealing with your daughter and your mother. You know, she ain't gonna always get it right, mama. Daughter, mama ain't gonna always get it right. Ain't no super, super Christians on this side. Ain't no super, super humans that we're gonna always hit the mark. God is saying, love is patient. Huh. I mean, you don't get to dictate how I operate on what I do in the relationship. I might not operate like you want me to operate and receiving and giving and whatever it is in the relationship, but I am doing the best I can. Love is kind. So, you know, parents have the authority to tell them when, where, what, and how to do because they're the leader that God has gifted them with the child to raise the child, so they're going to be held accountable. But it's not a position where you abuse, you know. You do what I say because I say it. Don't ask me no questions. Yeah, you know. But yet, sometimes the actions ain't lining up with what you're trying to teach. And then here comes the rebellious. The kids say, you know, like you say, they're on the phone talking to their friend about their mama. And she going to tell me not to cuss her mouth like a sailor. You know, her mouth, where she think I get that those words from? You know, and you know, and so even if you ain't talking, you teaching. Because a lot of people in the same household see you every day, all day at your worst, with your wig off, with your night clothes on, with your bad attitude, with your everything in the house. We see the outside version because we dress up to go out. But in the house, and God is saying, I want you to demonstrate it all the time. In the morning when you wake up and they done made too much noise and they getting on your nerves and the house ain't clean. And you know, he said, say what you mean and mean what you say. Just don't say it mean, because kids are human just like parents are human. And it go both ways. Kids, mind your mouth. Mothers, be cautious what you say, because you allow the enemy to come in and then love is out the window because you open the door for offense. She offended me. I ain't going to forgive her. So now you're not operating in love. And so now the enemy done came in and rearranged your furniture in your house. He done moved your TV where he could sit and watch. He done took over your recliner chair. He done re-orchestrate your bedroom. He done remodeled the whole house because you let him in the door because you didn't forgive the daughter when the daughter said, roll her eyes or whatever she said back to you. But we have to assume the position of what part I played. God said it go both ways. Child, respect and honor your parents. Your days may be long. And mom, don't provoke your child to anger. So God is saying there's a balance. Even though you're the mother, there's a balance. He wants us to be able to not cross the line because we can be provoking the grown people and the other people can be disrespectful. So everybody talking out of emotions and you stepped on my toes and I like what you said. But God says communication is key. Communicate what you're feeling, how you're feeling. Don't allow the enemy to come in. It's already challenging to have a relationship with another human being because you're dealing with their emotions and their, there might be two or three people in that one person. They might have three or four personalities. So when you start joining and unifying and having relationships, it's going to be more than one, two people in it because some people have multi-personalities. So when I come to the table, you're going to get Debra, you're going to get the comedian, you're going to get all of that, and I got to try to be, you know, then I got to deal with you and your whatever you got. And sometimes it's challenging. And the easy way out is just to run. But God is saying, I'm able. So prayer should be first. Lord, I prayed it that I would have the Christ-like attitude, that I would raise this child in a way that's pleasing to something in your sight, Lord. And when you see me out of line, Lord, check me, Lord. Check me, God. You know the thoughts before I have the thoughts. You know the end before the beginning. How you going to fool God? How you going to have sense on God? Saying, oh, God, but she may. God, so you had already had that in your heart. He said, listen, I know you. So just surrender that thing that's not quite Christ-like and ask God to help you. It's challenging to raise kids. They get 12, 13, 15. Oh, my goodness. I got nieces and nephews that I'm trying to reach, and I had to start like 3-4 years old. I got relationships with them. Because I just couldn't come around the corner at 14 and say, hey, why you got that elf and why you that on the phone all night with that girl and why you ain't, you know, you rolling your eyes at your daddy. And, you know, I had to start young with them. And I just put what I could put here and there, you know, because I know that it's hard to have relationships. As they get into teenagers, you start to have to fight against all the other people that are putting stuff in the air. Like you say, if you ain't talking to a Johnny Roll coming, Johnny this coming, Johnny somebody coming to whisper in your ear and tell her a few things, make her feel pretty. You better validate her home, let her know that she is what God says she is, because she's going to be hungry and looking for it. And the first one come along and say what she close to what God is saying, and she's going to go for it. Like Eve. Eve said that God said, don't eat from the tree. Don't do it. And the enemy came, and he put one word in there. He put not. Surely you should not die. God said, surely you should die. He said, surely you should not die. Eve said, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
That sounds about right to me. I heard God say, that sounds about what God said. And so when the boy come along and he goes, and, you know, you ain't validated. You ain't told her what you need to tell her. You know, to let her know that she ain't got to be looking for it outside of herself. And she can look in the mirror and say, I'm a pretty, beautiful black girl. God has blessed me. I am beautifully inside and out, and I have a lot to offer. And I'm just going to wait on the Lord. I'm not going to move ahead. I'm not going to try to play chess and be so strategically intellectual, and then I miss and make the wrong move. I'm going to wait on the Lord. But if they don't know what they value is inside, somebody's going to come along and say, surely you should not get pregnant. If we do it one time, I'll stop before. Surely you should not get hooked on if you smoke it. Surely you should not fail the test if you stay up all night. Surely you should not. That one word, N-O-T, not. And what it sound like about something I heard, and I know God said, surely you should die. Surely you should not die.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, hey, you got to pay attention. You got to be on point, because when they start going to middle school and they start having these other peoples in their life and they got personalities and more than one, I'm telling you, so they spend more time at school than they do home with you, because you might be working and they got 6-7 hours at school. Now you got 3-4 more hours on the phone at night. So that's like half a day now they're eating, they're sleeping. So you miss out on raising them because whatever reason, economically, you got to work two jobs or you got to provide or whatever the reason is, you got to make time for the relationship. So love, patience, and being kind. It also talks about in Corinthians, love is not easily angered. I mean, don't let them take you from 0 to 100. Give them to God. Give them to God. Love is not envious. Don't be envious. Your daughter got a nice figure and she got it going on. And when you was her age, you had it going on. Now it's 40 years later and you looking in the mirror like me and I'm saying, oh, God, where did that figure go? Oh, God, what, you know, like I'm just all washed up now. I'm about two sizes bigger and you know, and I just say devil use a lie, but my heart is in good shape. My mind is in good shape, better than it was when I had a figure. So I said, okay, thank you for the conditions of my heart. Room for improvement as we go, yes. But I'm looking more on the inside of what God blessed me with than what on the outside that I thought I lost. And so it's important to validate them, let them know that they are loved, they are special, and communication is key. There's a time to listen, there's a time to speak. Let her know you love her. Tell her you love her. You know, show her you love her. It's all about, you know, God say, hey, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your neighbor is that person right next to you. Not literally speaking who's sitting there, but that next person. That could be your child, your daughter sitting right there in the same house. You get on the phone and you love everybody else, but then you talk to her like, you know, and I be like, sometimes I hear people be saying stuff to their kids, and my flesh just be like, ooh. And then I hear them talking to somebody else. And it's all good. And hey, now cuss word. And I'm saying, wow. I'm talking night and day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just got praying for them because there's a lot of anger there between the child and the parent. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of disrespect. There's a lot of crossing the line. There's a lot of provoking. And I know the young kid saying, when I get 18, I'm out of here, and she's going to wonder why I'll never come by and visit and why I'm going to always be busy. I'm going to join the army. I'm going to be so far that I'm going to get away from this. And God is saying, hey, you're going to lose them. Be kind. Be patient. Be forgiving. Keep the enemy from coming into your house and rearrange your furniture. Keep that love connection going. You're not going to always get it right, but you got to always be able to say, I'm sorry, whether you're grown or whether you're young. You got to be able to keep the enemy out. And I, believe me, I'm talking about something that I had to live through not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't no child. Not long ago. So I'm talking what I walked through. And it was challenging because I want to say, well, I'm grown. You know, talk to me any kind of way. Well, you say what you want to say. And no. God said, forgiveness.
Yeah.
Keep your heart clean. Don't let him come in. Don't let him come in your house and move your TV where he wanted or put it on the wall or put it over there and move your recliner. No. Keep him out the house. That's you got to forgive. Keep the enemy out the house because he don't bring love. He brings hate and distraction and confusion. And God said, wherever there's confusion, I'm not in the midst of me. I'm not the author of that. So you already know if it ain't God, it's his enemy. And so he said, I want you to love your daughter. Love your mama. And anytime you got a misunderstanding or agreement or something that ain't go like it should be, God is asking you to just be what he called you to be and just keep putting it, God, bring it back to the altar. Lord, I've sinned again. Oh, Lord, it's me. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's me. It's Deborah again. Oh, Lord, yes, it's me again, Lord. It's me again, Lord. You know me because I've been back here so many times with this thing. Lord, it's me again. That ain't me. Of forgiveness. Help me, Lord, to love. Oh, Jesus, it's me again, God. God ain't tired of seeing you. It's when you ain't coming back telling God you're sorry, not just for forgiveness when God got a problem. He expects for you to come back. He said as often as they offend, 70 times 7, you're supposed to forgive.
Yeah.
So he asking us to not allow, misunderstandings and my authority as a mother or godmother. Don't get that all in your head that everything got to be like you want it to be, because people are human even at 1 year old, and they have their own personality, their own identity. They have their own ways, their own characteristic traits, and they going to grow up to be what God has called to be. And in the midst of that, sometimes we're going to have some art, we're going to have some misunderstanding, but God is saying, keep your line of love open. Keep loving, keep the enemy out. You got a problem, bring it to me. I say, cast all your cares upon me, because I care for you. I want you to raise the child I gave you in a way that I told you to raise her. So if there's any problem with the gift I gave you, come on back to the manufacturer and let's talk about what it is that was in the toolbox that you needed to use that you didn't use. Let's talk about, you know, I gave you a pamphlet, the word, the Bible. I gave you a pamphlet. Let's go back to the pamphlet. Because sometimes we want to fix something, we don't even read how to installation. It says this is how you put this TV together, but no, we throw the instructions away and then we can't get the TV. Now, I don't know why the TV ain't working. Hey, you missed something on the instructions. They just go back to the Bible on love.
Yeah.
Lord, how?
Yeah.
How?
Just
go back to the basics. God wants to be in love. The love, he said, I gave you a gift. That's a gift that came out of you. You carry that baby 9 months, 8 months, 7 months, 6 months, however much you carry that baby. That baby came out and crying and kicking, and you hug and kiss that baby every time that baby cried in the middle of the night. You got up and you took care of the baby, you nursed that baby. That baby loved you.
Right.
And as the baby get older, you got to make those adjustments. Age appropriate.
Just hug and kiss him.
Yeah, hug and kiss him. Change the dirty diapers.
Mm-hmm.
God is saying, hey, and we can take a page out of that book. You know, kids, they get mad, and then they get mad for 5 minutes. Then you see them out the window sucking on the same lollipop, sucking on the same, them flip that popsicle down the middle. You know, they don't let that thing, they ran at mama, you know what he did over there. And you look out the window, and then you got the popsicle going on, and they riding back on that bicycle. God say, hey, forgive them, move on.
Yeah.
They take a script from the kids.
Yeah, that's just like I said last night. That little thing that someone said about someone sent me a little picture about two little kids, and the little kids was actually, you know, one little boy crying. And one was, he was white, and the other little boy was black, and they was in kindergarten, and you okay? And he was like, no, you must hug each other and hug each other. Then they said, come on, let's go play. And they went to play, and I said, Lord, you know, if we children as adults could work like that, that would be a good world. You know, just hug. We see people that's hurting. We see people that we should say something to. Sometimes just how you doing? I remember one day I was traveling, and I stopped at the rest stop, and I was coming out, and this lady came in. That lady was walking with so much pain. I mean, she was just, I thought, Lord, I said, ma'am, I said, is there anything I could do? I said, I could see you in so much pain. And she told me what happened. And I don't want to say anything negative, but it was about the and her life went from one thing to the other to a wheelchair. And she said, I was determined. My husband rolled me up in the wheelchair, but I was determined to walk in this bathroom. I haven't been able to walk. My whole muscles seemed like they came off my bone. But she was determined. She said, thank you for even just asking. I felt like I needed to help her, but she was determined. I'm going to take this walker and I'm to this bathroom. But I'm like that. If I see something, I'm constantly praying for. I pray for them when I see them walking and look like that's like problems or hip problems. You know what I mean? We can just pray for people. The Lord, what is for us that you just bless them, you know, and that the body is healed and restored. You don't have to run to everybody and lay hands on them. But you can pray for them. You can send love to them, and you can send faith to them, and you can send grace to them, and just do whatever you can do and ask God to nurture them. And if we do that for other people, why can't we do that for our families? You got to start with your own daughter and your own mother, because you can't really get it from your heart without knowing that you're okay with your own mother and daughter. That's what I tell people. How are you going to just jump up and help somebody and their daughter when you ain't good with your own? Being hypocrites. You won't curse your child out from every F this, that, and the other, and then turn around and say, hey, girl, and talk just as nice. I saw that picture when you were saying it. I'm like, yep. You know what? That's an illustration for a serious discussion. We're going to talk about that, because I've seen that so many times. When I used to work with women in public housing, I mean, I've seen those ladies come out of that building and curse a two-year-old, a three-year-old, call them everything. I mean, cursing out like you curse a grown person. And one day I said to this young lady, I said, honey, I said, now, God is not pleased with you. There ain't no way God is pleased with you cursing out a three-year-old. I don't know, baby just barely could walk. She had it by the hand and, come on here with your so-and-so. And, oh, my God, I couldn't stand it. But I was trying to watch my mouth because I knew I would end up having a fight. And I probably would have gotten beat up, you know what I'm saying? So, but I had to say something. It just wasn't right otherwise. So anyway, mothers and daughters are always saying to Deborah and I, a mother's natural love and selfish love, and we want to do the love, a godly love. Thank you, Deborah. It was wonderful. You did a great job as usual. And I pray and hope they got what God wanted us to deliver to them. Hold on, I'll be right, Deborah.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's the show, Deborah. Thank you so very much. Get some rest on this week, your holiday weekend, and I'll talk with you soon.
Okay, God bless. Thank you. Bye-bye, right. Audience. Love you.
Bye-bye, mothers and daughters. Have a great, safe holiday weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.